like that arm action. People all get excited about what they're singing. See, when you sing those words, when you believe it, you get excited. Amen? I do believe one day he's going to come back and take us up. John chapter 11. I know some of you have had a long day. I'm going to try to get you out of here by 8 o'clock. Had some thoughts. Went through me, wrote them down. Shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Shortest verse in the Bible. Good to see each one of you. God bless you. Don't forget to sign up for Pastor Dave's King James Bible class. There's 16 of us already signed up for it. It's going to start September 4th, I believe. It's on a Thursday night. And September 4th, if you want to get in that King James Bible class. And no tuition. It's free. You can't beat the price. All righty. John 11:35, you all got it? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I could read it faster than some of you could stand up, but I thought I'd give you, let you straight. That's right, you don't have to if you can't. Let me, the shortest verse of the Scriptures. How many can say it without reading it? Jesus wept. Let's say it again.
Jesus wept.
Did you ever wonder why he wept? Did you ever wonder why, who he wept for? You ever wonder what was behind all those tears? I'm going to share some things with you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a wonderful Savior that wept. He wept for every one of us here. Yes. Every one of us in this building tonight, there was tears shed for us. And Father, I just pray that you'll take these collective thoughts that you gave me and help me be a blessing to the people, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Two words. Shortest verse in the Bible, two words. Jesus wept. Everyone, when you're giving out memory verses, everyone would say, I want to do John 11:35, teacher. Shortest verse in the Bible, only two words. Yet how many times have you heard this verse quoted? How many times have you heard it preached from? Thousands. Amen? Just two words. Jesus wept. Yet think about it. Volumes have been spoken about these very two words. Jesus wept. Nine letters. Brother Mike, I love numerology, so you'll see the preacher a lot talk about numerology. I'm a numbers nut, especially when we take up the offering. Jesus wept, two words, nine letters. Think about those letters. Jesus, by the way, Jesus is the greatest name that ever was told. Amen. Acts 4:12, no name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. But let's think about the word Jesus. Five letters. Five letters. In the Old Testament, five in the Old Testament meant death. Remember, David had five stones. He only took one to kill Goliath, but if his other family would have came, he would have killed them too. He had one for each of them. So five in the Old Testament represented death. But five in the New Testament represented grace. Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves of bread and two small fishes. Are you with me? How many are still thinking with me? So five in the Old Testament represented what? But what's it mean? What's it represent in the New Testament? Grace. Isn't it amazing? Jesus accepted death at Calvary's cross so we can accept his wonderful and marvelous grace today. Amen. Amen. Now notice in the word wept, four letters. Jesus, five letters. Wept, four letters. And four is the number of the world. And we're in John 11, and that. You couldn't get a better picture of the world. Look at John 11:39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, said that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead. How many days? Four. I told you five represented grace now. I told you four represented the world. And Lazarus is a tremendous picture of every person in all the world dead in sins in a grave. And the only hope for dead men is one person, Jesus.
Amen.
Of course, we know the story. He came and brought Lazarus back to life. So the only hope for mankind, four is the number of the world, the only hope for mankind is Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the only hope that Lazarus had, was for Jesus. Did you notice Jesus wept, the two words together? Nine letters. Nine is the finished work of God. Finished work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the ninth hour, John 19:30, Jesus cried out, "It's finished." And there on the Calvary's cross, as Christ suffered and died, he took all our sins, my sins, your sins, and he took all of our sins, and he bore the punishment for you and I, so you and I could have forgiveness. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Nine, finished work on Calvary's cross. Jesus cried out in the ninth hour, "It's finished." Even in Acts 10:3, Cornelius had a vision in the ninth hour. What happened to Cornelius? He got saved. Amen? By the way, the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus was on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours when he suffered and died. Six is the number of man. God created man on the sixth day. Amen? Well, now look at this. I just wrote down, I think, two or three things. But you know how I do two or three things. Number one, who did Jesus weep for? I got thinking about the tears of Christ today. Who did he weep for? First of all, in John 11:35, we know exactly who he wept for. He was weeping for Lazarus. And no doubt now he was weeping for Lazarus, but he had compassion because all the family and friends, they were weeping too. He felt their sorrow. He felt their hurt. He felt their loneliness and emptiness. I'm going to tell you, he feels your sorrow. He feels your hurt. He feels your loneliness. He knows your emptiness. He knows what you're going through. The Bible says that he was stirred in his heart, and Jesus wept. No doubt that he cried for Lazarus, but he was crying for Mary and Martha and those that were believers, because Jesus, right there, number one, Jesus was crying for a saint. See, when you get saved, you become a saint. You don't have to be homogenized or pasteurized or canonized or any kind of eyes. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a saint. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, then you're an ain't. If you're saved, you're a saint. If you're not saved, you're an ain't. How many are with me? If you ain't saved, you ain't a saint. So you're either an ain't or a saint. You gotta have that S. If you don't have that, you don't have that S by Jesus, you're an ain't. Ain't going to heaven. Ain't got your sins forgiven. Ain't gonna escape hell.
Right.
Boy, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Amen. And then, of course, the saint of God that Lazarus had faith in Christ, he died. And the Bible says in Psalms 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." I'm going to tell you something. God watches over you and I. And when you go through, if you die, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to die by yourself. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest before me." It goes on and on. And it goes, Jesus Christ. I get preached on Psalms 23. I'll never get out of it, Rod. And so, Jesus Christ loves you. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I dwell in the Lord forever. I doubt the house of the Lord forever." But I'm going to leave that because I can preach a whole message on Psalms 23. But aren't you glad we never walk alone? He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And what I'm saying is this, child of God, Christ loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your heartache. He knows your cares. And by the way, he cares about you not only in this life. He doesn't just care about you in living. He cares about you when you're dying. And so he had tears for one of his children, for one of his saints. Number two, Jesus says he wept for all. Not only did he wept for, I said number one, he wept for a saint. I mean, who did he weep for, number one? Number two, he wept over sinners. Jesus wept over sinners. Look, it says in Matthew 11:19 that Jesus was a friend of sinners. They said, he's a friend of sinners. You ain't kidding. By the way, he hated sin, any kind of sin, but he loves a sinner. You know, sometimes we get it mixed up. We get so mad at sinners. Sometimes we ought to remember we're to hate the sin but love the sinner. Well, that guy's a scumbucket. No, he's not. The sin he might be doing might not be right, but the man is loved by God. By the way, you know what? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm glad God looked down in love and said, there's a guy on Galena Street in the back alleys there in the bars. I'm glad that guy looked down and said, God said, I'm going to save that guy. I'm glad he didn't give up on sinners. And you and I better never give up on sinners. And you and I better never forget one thing. You and I are sinners just saved by grace. We used to be what we might despise today. Hello? I haven't drank alcohol for over 30 years. Don't plan to ever take another drop of alcohol. But I'm gonna love the fellow that's an alcoholic. I'm not gonna love the alcohol, but I'm gonna love the guy that takes it. Hello? Jesus doesn't like any sin, but he loves all sinners. You and I ought to have a love for sinners. I guarantee he cried for sinners. He cried for saints. I said, number one, he cried for saints. I said, number two, he wept for sinners. Number three, Jesus wept over all souls of mankind. Look at Matthew chapter 9 with me. Look at Matthew 9. 9, verse 35 and 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. It's a familiar verse. Many of you could quote this verse. When Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, that wasn't just Jewish people. That was all kinds of people. All kinds of people were involved in this. Jew and Gentile both. I don't know if there's anyone from West Virginia at the time, but they're included in there. Amen? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd, and a sheep without a shepherd gets devoured by the wolf. A sheep without a shepherd is in great danger. A sheep without a shepherd is in peril. A sheep without a shepherd is powerless. I was watching this animal thing the other day. They were showing different kinds of dogs. I can't think of the name of the dog that they named, but they're white. They're white. They're big white dogs. And when they're born, Eddie, they put them in with the sheep. And then big white dogs grow up, and they think they're part of the sheep. Do you know what they do? Anytime a wolf comes around, that big dog says, I'm going to rip your face right off. They help protect the sheep. Jesus was the shepherd, the pure Lamb of God. Amen. That came to protect the sheep. Yes. Amen? How many are still with me? Amen. Notice Jesus, look what it says there in verse 35. He went about all the cities and villages. Boy, that's what we got to do. We just got to keep getting the word out. Keep getting the word out. Teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Yeah, that's what we need. When we see the multitudes, man, I go out to those malls. If your heart don't break when you go to those malls, they ought to. By the way, I don't like going to malls. I don't know many men that like to go to malls. Brother Eddie, I've been training you for about 18 years now. I'm gonna train you some more. Here's what preacher does for you guys when I go to the mall with Rosie and Tammy. I look for a McDonald's or someplace to get a coffee. Are you with me? And I tell the girls, I know you're going to go into a lot of shops. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You see that restaurant right there? I'm going to sit right in that restaurant, and I'm going to drink coffee till you come back. So when you get done running, all you got to do is come back this. I'll be here somewhere. I'll be here at the Dairy Queen getting an ice cream, either coffee or ice cream. I'll probably have one first and one later. But you can find me in this area because I'm not walking around all those crazy people. I just want to be right here. But even then, as you sit there, the multitudes come through those doors. Yeah. Brother Dave and I were out there a week ago. Sometime I was out there at I was in Canton, Ohio, near Canton. That one out there, that mall out there, and we were, Belden Village, and we were sitting there just talking. The girls were running around. Tammy was getting her nails done, and Rosie was running around trying to buy something for somebody. And I said, we'll just be back there in that food court, man. Just go ahead. Do you guys do what you want, man. Have fun when it's over. And fellas, don't give up. They close the doors at 9. And Donnie, at 9:02, here comes Rosie. And so, now we didn't get through to about 7:30 probably. But anyways, I'm going to get in trouble with the girls. But I'm trying to help you guys. But I was watching those people go through there. There's a lot of people. This one guy, he was running one of those, I think he was running the orange thing or something. I didn't buy nothing from him. But he had blue hair. He had blue hair and all kinds of different. I said, look at that guy. What a trip. And boy, they all walked by different, all kinds. I think to myself, Brother Mark, how many of those, if the rapture happened right then, how many people would still be in that mall? Brother Mark, Ron, I often wonder, at any one time, how many saved people are in those malls? Do you ever think about that, Brother Mel? How many people would be left behind? By the way, one day they're going to be left behind if they don't get saved. We need to have compassion and try to reach a few of them. Amen. I know I can't run down every one of them. And I know I told you this, and it's true though. Years ago, I got so scared of the way they looked. I said, Rosie, my teacher was right. The Martians have landed. I saw one just a few minutes ago. But Jesus had come. You know what? Even on the guy with the blue and the sparkled hair and the different kids with the kids. Man, the kids are all spaced out. Some of the kids, I don't even know if they're on the same planet. Hey! And they wear their pants. And they buy ones with holes in them already, you know. When we were a kid, we were patching the holes. Now they try to buy the. You can act. Not only do the people buy pet rocks. By the way, if you want to buy rocks, we got them for sale. Any rock out there in our church land, we'll sell them to you. We'll give you a good price on those rocks in the land. We'll put in the building fund. Amen. They're good. They make good pets. They don't cost no money to keep up or nothing. But. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Amen. But Jesus had compassion on them. Can you imagine if Jesus was sitting in that mall today as all the different people walked through? That's the kind of heart he wants me to have. He didn't want me to have a critical heart. He wants me to have a caring heart. He wants me to have a compassionate heart. Because except for the grace of God, I could have been one of those people too. I'll tell you, the Lord's shown me so much. You know, we get too high-minded. Amen. We better just thank God we're saved. Amen. I'm glad Jesus had compassion for sinners. Amen? When he was on the cross, and in Luke 23:34, when he's on the cross, he cried out, my God, no, he had seven great sayings, but here's one of the sayings that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very people that put the spikes in his hands and the spear in his side and the crown of thorns in his brow, he said, Father, forgive them. That's the kind of compassion our Savior had. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. I told you that he wept for saints, the saved people. He wept for sinners. All of us are sinners. and he wept for all souls of mankind. By the way, you know when Jesus cried, even though you and I weren't born? Do you know, Kenny, some of those tears were shed for you and your son? Because, see, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and end. Jesus can see all into the future. He knew when you were going to be born. In the Bible, there's a song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of those tears that you see Jesus shed when you read it, some of those were for you and me, Eddie. Because he knew you and I needed a Savior real bad. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Jesus wept over the souls of sinners and which we are included. We need to weep in tears for the lost just like Jesus did. Psalms 126 verse 5 says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He, in verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We knocked on a lot of doors last week. By the way, thank you for knocking on those doors. I heard Brother Mike got to talk to some people. One man said, all I know is German. And Brother Mike spent 3 years in Germany, so he spoke to him in German. We got you. I could just know Mike, as he spoke to him in compassion, Jesus loves you. We need to be able to reach people with love and care and concern. And you know, when we go out, we ought to have a tear in our eye. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people, they wouldn't even, believe it or not, I didn't have anybody reject the literature, which is unusual. Usually they say, most of them took it, and then they closed the door on me. They wouldn't let me talk to them. And I thought, oh, dear God, help them to read. Help them to read that John and Romans. And Lord, work in their heart. Amen. We need that. Our heart ought to be broken for Ravenna and all the people around us. Amen? Because if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. Jesus wept. I told you, number one, he wept over the saints. I told you, number two, he wept over sinners. I told you, number three, he wept over for all souls of mankind. I don't care who you are, where you are. I don't care what continent, what country. I don't care what nationality. Jesus Christ loves all people. He died for all people. He wept for all people. I want you to look at this one verse with me. It's in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And I'll try to close this out. Luke 19. Luke 19:41. I told you, number one, who did Jesus cry over? Saints. I told you, number two, who did he cry over? Sinners. I told you, number three, who did Jesus cry over? Yeah, souls of mankind, you're right. He cried over saints, which if you're here and you're saved, he cries for you. He's cried for us before we got saved, by the way. He cries for sinners, so that includes you and I. He cries for all souls of mankind. Every person that's born has got an eternal soul. Every one of us are an eternal soul. Look up here. You soul winners, here's a good Bible lesson for you soul winners. Or soul warners. I love that soul warning. God is a Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three. And in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, the Trinity, make man in our image. How did he make man? He made man a tri-being. Body, soul, and spirit. Are you with me? You're just like God. You were made in his image. You're a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. And your soul lives forever. Your body dies and goes back, but that soul and spirit, they live forever. Never dies. They taught me when I went to Bible college years ago, there was a time that you did not exist, but there'll never be, before you were born, you didn't exist, although you did exist in the mind of God, because God knew you before you were ever born. But there was a time that you did not exist before you were born. But there'll never be a time that you ceased to exist. After you're born, the moment you were conceived, there was never a time that you never would exist. You will always exist after that. There was a time that you did not exist, but there'll never be a time that you ceased to exist. Death is only a gateway to eternity, and what you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternity. You either go to heaven forever or hell forever, but you're going to live forever somewhere. You're an eternal soul. That's why Christ came and died. That's why he suffered, because he knew he was suffering for all man's eternities. You see. Can you imagine Christ as he was on the cross hanging and people were mocking him and scourging him and laughing at him and stoning him and spitting on him? The very people that he was trying to save from the flames of hell and the damnation of hell, they were cursing him. Can you imagine how much that broke his heart? Think about that. Are you still with me? Lastly, Luke 19:41. By the way, Eddie, this is only two times I studied. The only two times I could find Jesus wept, where it says he wept. This 11:35, in this verse right here. Only two times, Kenny. By the way, two is a number of witness. God wants is witnessing to us. Hey, I want you to see something. Amen. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. Of course, that city's Jerusalem. And what did he do? He wept over it. Luke 19:41, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. You want to get another thought about this? Notice that he wept over Jerusalem. He cried. He had tears. He wept. Oh, I know, I told you, he wept for saints. Over in John 11:35, he wept for sinners. Yeah, he was a friend of sinners, and he cried for them also. And he wept for all mankind's souls. But he also wept for Jerusalem. Look at Matthew 23:37, and I'll close with this verse. Matthew 23:37. As he looked upon Jerusalem, Matthew 23:37, as Jesus looked upon Jerusalem, it says he wept there. I believe this is referring how he felt about Jerusalem. Oh, I'm in Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent, and thee, and sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee to thy children together, even as her gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Can you see Jesus? Look up here. He said, I wish I could just get you all and hug you. Wish I could just put my arms around you and gather you in like a chicken would get her little chicks. I'm here with me. He looked down upon Jerusalem. He's saying, oh, I love you so much. I know you don't love me, and I know you don't care. And aren't you glad he loves us? Amen. I heard Jerry Seiler give an illustration. I'll say this, and I'll try to close here. I got just one more thought here. It's on the same Jerusalem. Jerry Seiler's a preacher down in Dayton, Ohio. He didn't preach this message, but he gave his illustration before he quit, the one he brought yesterday. And he has a grandson that has disabilities. And when the baby was born, he thought, oh, God. And he said, preacher. Then he related, he said, you know what? We weren't feeling sorry for my grandson. We were feeling sorry for us. Then he said later, man, what a blessing. When we got our hearts right, we just realized how much God blessed us. Well, his grandson's now he's 13 years old, and he wanted to ride a bike. He said he comes to vacation Bible school. He can talk and he can walk, and you know. And he said, Paul, I'd really like to. So he took him to Cincinnati. They trained him all week, and they helped him. He ended up riding a bike for the first time in his life. And he was staying all night at his house. And Jerry said he got up early one morning, way before the other people, and he went by his grandson's room, and his grandson saw him and said, hey, Paul, And he said, what can I do for you, son? He said, I made a mistake. You see, he couldn't control his bowels. To this day, he can't control his bowels. He said, Paul, I made a mistake. And he said, yeah, I just picked him up. First, I went and got a rag and clean. He said, I picked him up and took him to the shower, and I cleaned them all up, cleaned everything up, and set him back down. And he said, thank you, Paul. He said, isn't that just like us? We always make mistakes. We mess up. And God has to reach down and take our lives and clean us up and put us back so we can go start again. How many are glad you got a loving God?
Amen.
Jesus loved Jerusalem so much. You ought to love Jerusalem. I hope this country will never turn their back on Jerusalem and Israel. I believe God keeping the light on in America for one reason. Well, for a couple reasons. One, because of Jerusalem, number one. I'll bless them a blessing, curse them a curse. If we ever turn our back on Israel, you better kiss America goodbye. And another reason, because we publish the word, we get out the word of God. I think because of his word and because of Israel, I believe that's why God's keeping America going. And America's just flickering, by the way. I told you, it's 8 o'clock. Let me just finish this thought. Jesus, now he saw them rejecting him at the crucifixion, Brother Eddie. But he also saw the future. Can you imagine as Jesus looked, because he was God in the incarnate. Not only did Jesus see him refusing him at the Calvary's cross, but he saw far beyond the future. He saw when General Titus of the Roman army would come in 70 AD, before Jerusalem was leveled to the ground, brother, he saw that happening. He saw the Jews being scattered. He saw Jerusalem and his people he loved so much. He saw them being, he knew soon after his death, 30-some years after his death, he knew that they would be destroyed by the Roman government, and that Jerusalem would be, the city of Jerusalem would be literally leveled to the ground. And he knew that they would, for hundreds and hundreds of years, matter of fact, almost 2,000 years, they would be scattered throughout all the world without a country, without a home. If you knew what was going to happen to people, wouldn't your heart ache? How do you think his felt? He saw the coming judgments. He saw the coming sorrows. He saw the coming heartaches. By the way, he also saw them coming back. In 1948, they became a nation. And in 1967, they got Jerusalem back. In the Six-Day War, where 3 million Jews took on an army of 100 million, and the 3 million whooped the fire out of the 100 million. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to close. I'm just going to read this scripture to you. It's from Ezekiel 36, verse 19 and 24. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way. According to their doings, I judge them. For I will take you from among the heathen. We're actually seeing, by the way, Eddie, this is prophecy that's fulfilled. Can you imagine a little bit, almost 600 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Ezekiel wrote this? And Brother Leo, this scripture came fulfilled in 1948. This scripture fulfilled in 67, because they got Jerusalem back in 67. For I will take you from among the heathen, we're the heathen, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Hallelujah. He did. Aren't you glad? And that wonderful Savior, he loves the saint. He loves the sinners. He loves the souls of all mankind. And he loves all of Jerusalem. He's wept tears for all those. You're part of those. He's wept for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I'm so thankful for your tears. I can't imagine how many tears you shed up in heaven over us because we break your heart so much. But Lord, help us to shed tears for others. Help us to care with compassion for others. Help us not to look down on people, but help us to look up and say, what can we do to be a blessing? Help us to reach out in love and compassion, share the wonderful Christ with the whole world that needs him. The whole world's like Lazarus. They're dead in the grave. And unless we reach them for Christ, with Christ, they'll perish. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, before we go home, it's 8:05. How many could say, preacher, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ to save my soul, and I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight that would be honest with himself and honest with God and just say, and by the way, I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I give you my word. But you'd say, pastor, I'm not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Let me pray for you. Would you include me in that prayer? Who'd say that? Just raise a hand. Who'd say that? Yes, sir. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? One man's raised his hand. Who else? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. How many are Christian? And you'd say, preacher, I've not been warning people. Like, I need more compassion like Christ had. Pray for me. I need that compassion. So, yes, 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 yes. God bless you all over the building. Heavenly Father, I know only you can save. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict and show people that they need a Savior more than a religion, more than a church. They need a personal Savior that loves them and cried over them, shed tears for them, shed tears for their souls, shed tears for their life. And Lord, I pray that, especially for that one, I know one raised their hand tonight, you'd open their heart to know Christ and the free pardon of sin, that Christ would become real in their life. Not just a swear word, not just a word, but they would know him personally as Savior. Help the Lord, there was hands on both sides, many. God, burn our heart to have compassion so much that we'd witness to people, that we'd reach out in love. People are searching. If we would just reach out in love and compassion like our Savior, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come, you come.